We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I mentioned that Tristan Jarry contract extension. We'll get into what that means for the Penguins with Jesse Marshall of The Athletic in 35 minutes or so here on 93.7 The Fan. I'm Chris Mack of The Fan Morning Show, also joined by Doran Dickerson in the 9 o'clock hour. We get back into a discussion about the scheduling dominoes that could or could not be falling for the NFL with positive COVID tests around the league that have caused at least a delay in the Chiefs-Patriots game to be played this weekend. Might not be played until tomorrow or even Tuesday. Two more positive tests in the Titans organization. So next week's Bills-Titans game is now in jeopardy. And we were very close to having Saints-Lions delayed today, although that sounds like that was a false positive in the Saints' case as they've traveled to Detroit for a 1 o'clock kickoff today. A lot to get to this morning, including so frustrating. Pitt's loss to NC State yesterday, our pre- and post-game studio host. For Pitt Panthers football, Cale Berger joins me now. Good morning, Cale. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on. I texted you yesterday in the middle of the game and said, hey, would you like to join me tomorrow to talk about this, I believe I used the word I can't say on the radio, blank show. 13 penalties for 125 yards. Let's start there. A couple of them are some ticky-tack defensive pass interference penalties that certainly we can argue about, but you can even remove those penalties, and still, far too often, Pitt was just handing NC State extended drives, and you can have one of the best defenses in the country, one of the most talented defenses in the country. It doesn't help if you're just continuing to hand the ball to the opposing offense in advantageous positions, which is what they were doing yesterday.
You're absolutely right, and really, 13 penalties for 125 yards, really just unexcusable. And, you know, you're right. There, two of those three pass interference calls, were ticky-tacky. You could kind of go either way in those situations. But they had five offside penalties, not false start, five offside penalties in that first half where, you know, it was just really undisciplined. And you're right, you can't give 125 free yards to another team, especially when, you know, they had a quarterback in Devin Leary who was just having a career day on them, 300 yards and four touchdown passes. You can't afford to give up 125 free yards to a team like that that's firing on all cylinders, and that's what they did. So, you know, really unexcusable, but, you know, this game was, I think, a microcosm of, you know, a lot of things that plagued them last season that have kind of reared their ugly head once again. And really the main thing was the penalties. They had a ton of penalties last season. They're one of the most penalized teams in the ACC. Through the first three games, it seemed like they'd kind of put that behind them. But, you know, sure enough, it showed up once again in a big way and probably was the reason, the chief reason out of many, you know, why they lost to NC State yesterday.
Yeah, and that's the problem here is it's a recurring theme now over the last couple of years. And we expected this team to maybe take the next step, right? And maybe I know we were just talking the other day on the Fan Morning Show about can this be an 8-3 team with their only three losses being to those top 10 teams that sit out there on their schedule in Miami and Notre Dame and Clemson. But now we're back to talking about a team that boots an opportunity to be that 8-3 team to not fall back down to the expectations of, oh, they're always going to lose a game that they shouldn't lose, and it happens every year. But, again, we're talking about recurring themes here, Cale.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that's the thing is everyone kind of is talking about today and late last night is, oh, well, you know, Pitt's due for one of these every year, but they'll get an upset back over one of these top three teams down the road. And it's like, well, you know, that's a great, outlook and a positive outlook to have for the rest of the season. But the reality is it gets to a point where you can't lose games like this. And it does seem like every year, you know, even at the end of last year, a loss to Boston College, who they'll play next week. It seems like this is a trend that happens every year where, you know, Pitt starts to build up some steam, build up some momentum, and, you know, play, and you hear Pat Narduzzi talk about, especially this week, you know, talking about the disrespect card and how, you know, a lot of the players were upset that the team dropped in the rankings after a ranked win over Louisville last week, which is understandable. You know, if you beat a ranked team and you expect not to drop in those rankings, but obviously different circumstances with the Big Ten coming back and et cetera.
Right.
But the truth is you know, you can't talk really about, you know, the disrespect and stuff all week and then come out and kind of lay the egg that you did, especially in the first half, against an NC State team that's allowed 42 and 45 points on defense for the first 2 weeks of the season. And, you know, I do want to give some credit, though, to NC State, too, because, you know, their offensive coordinator, Tim Beck, they put together a great game plan against this Pitt defense, you know, using their aggressiveness against them with screens and in the counter run game, getting them flowing one way and going the other. And then they have big receivers on the outside that they use, you know, masterfully throughout the day against Pitt's corners. So, you know, you want to give them a little credit for the game plan they put together to have this success against what I still think is a very good defense. But really, you know, what it comes down to is they just had too many errors they committed themselves, and that's kind of been the case through the first three games of the season, and they've been able to survive, but obviously not able to overcome those last night.
Cale Berger, our Pitt pre- and post-game host with me here on 93.7 The Fan. Chris Mack of The Fan Morning Show with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Talk Pens in a couple of moments with Jesse Marshall. We talk NFL scheduling shuffling in the 9 o'clock hour at length with Doran Dickerson. Do they need to – let me phrase the question this way, Cale, because I was simply going to ask you, what do they have to do to improve their red zone offense? There's multiple issues, but let me put it this way. Would committing to a single back help this offense find some traction when they get down into the opposing team's red zone, or is it bigger than that?
Well, I think it's bigger than that, but I also don't think that it's still a committee or they're going with the hot hand, because it seems like over the last few weeks, the guy has been Vincent Davis. He had 15 carries yesterday for 40 yards, the exact same numbers as Kenny Pickett running the ball. But I think that's the problem is, you know, in some offenses, it's great to have a quarterback that's dual threat and everything. That's not what this Pitt offense is. So it's more of a red flag to have your starting quarterback be your leading rusher and have to, you know, resort to a quarterback sneak every time you get down to the one-yard line. You know, I think that really it just comes down to maybe a little more creativity on the goal line there, because that's something that they suffered from last year, just like we talked about the penalties, was, you know, scoring in short yardage or in the red zone. So, you know, they got some guys that are a little bigger bodies. You know, Todd Sibley jumped in the game there, a veteran running back, and they put him in the Wildcat, and they actually had some success, but then after two plays, kind of immediately went away from it and didn't return to it. And also they have a young guy in Daniel Carter, a guy from my, old hometown stomping grounds of South Florida, who's a big body. I think Billy Hillgrove or Pat Bostic referred to him as a Jerome Bettis type, you know, look of him because he's a big guy. I think it just comes down to, you know, you don't need necessarily a workhorse back or just one guy. I think the key is you need to have creativity. You need to have the right play call there on the one-yard line. And unfortunately, you saw on that first drive of the half, second half for the Panthers yesterday, four opportunities at the one-yard line, unable to punch it in. I think it's more than – you have to do more than just trying to run it down people's throats, especially with the way this offense is structured, because, you know, they weren't a great rushing team last year. They weren't terrible, but they weren't, you know, phenomenal. They weren't like we've seen in the past from Pitt teams 2 years ago with Quadri Olafson and Darren Hall that went to the ACC championship. And I think, you know, something Pat Narduzzi said last year was that offensive line wasn't necessarily a tremendous run-blocking offensive line. They were better pass-blocking O-line. More of the same guys were there this year. They have a plethora of young, talented running backs. It's just a matter of, you know, what does your offense do well? And I think when you get down there to one-yard line, especially on that first drive of the second half, you know, Kenny Pickett was dealing, and he had a fantastic day. You know, maybe that's an opportunity where you put him in a situation where, you know, maybe you just spread it out on the one-yard line, have five wide receivers out there and let him pick apart the defense, because he's been doing that so well throughout the day. I mean, he had a career high in passing yards, 411. So I think it just comes down to maybe a little more creativity, but I think they have found their running back in Vincent Davis. But, you know, maybe that's not the case. Maybe you need to have a mix of guys, and that's something we keep pleading with the Steelers to do with James Conner and Benny Snell and everyone else. You know, maybe that's the key to success. It's just a matter of putting those guys in the right situations.
Well, Kale, you mentioned creativity, and that's the word. Like, the Pitt offense looks better when, I don't want to say freewheeling, because it's not freewheeling, but they just, when they show some more creativity, when they get into the Wildcat for a few plays. You know, you think about the classic finish to the UCF game last year. It was creativity down near the goal line. And it seems to me that when they get down near the goal line, they almost tighten up and they're afraid. I don't know if it's Whipple, if it's Narduzzi, if it's who it is, but they tighten up. Their personality changes once they get down on the goal line.
You know, I agree. But I think the big thing, too, is yeah, that was a great play against UCF last year, but you can't rely on, you know, double passes and trick plays every time you get down in a bind in the red zone.
Right.
You know, you have to be able to just punch it in. And listen, it's well and good for Kenny Pickett to be able to quarterback sneak it every time. You know, there's people that have called for that for Ben Roethlisberger to do for years and years, and the Steelers haven't done it. So that's great, and it's been effective. But, you know, you can't do it every time, and you also can't keep putting your quarterback in harm's way because
you saw
yesterday. I mean, he was banged up yesterday. He's been banged up in the past. Kenny Pickett is a very tough quarterback, but he's also a guy who's taken a ton of hits over his career at Pitt. You need to find a more conservative way, I guess, or a more consistent way to punch it in from the one-yard line there, and they just haven't found it. So, you know, I think, like I said, it's spreading it out. You know, it's running just hitch routes across the board and trying to find someone, maybe trying to hit one of these talented young receivers in the back of the end zone. I definitely don't think it's run laterally, because I think there were some opportunities or some plays yesterday where, you know, Pitt was in first and 10 or something, and they go with or they're third and one, and they try to go with a jet sweep. And I just don't think that's the correct call in those instances, because I think you need to go north and south and not try to go laterally. But you're right. There needs to be some more creativity. You can't just try and run it down people's throats, especially when, you know, what we can take away through four games is just, that's just not the style of this offense. This is an offense that wants to throw it around and spread the ball around the field. And it's tougher to do that in the confined area of the one-yard line of the red zone. But you have to try something different, because clearly what was working yesterday and quarterback sneaks from Kenny Pickett aren't necessarily sustainable.
Before I let you run, Kale Berger, our Pitt pre- and post-game host here on 93.7 The Fan, what's up with your boys? Are they going to get swept against the Lakers? Is Tyler Hero ever going to shoot like he did? He's disappeared in the first two games. What's going on?
Well, you know, I had a lot of faith in the Heat going into this NBA Finals series, but, you know, I'm also a big LeBron guy as well. So it's kind of I'm kind of torn.
Oh, look at you, you front runner! Look at you, front runner!
Okay.
You're going to make an excuse now for why you'll be happy that your boys got swept by LeBron.
Well, let's be clear. I have more Cavs apparel in my closet than I have Heat stuff. So let's not try and act like I'm a front runner here.
That would be cute if he still played for the Cavs, Kale. But he's with the Lakers now.
I don't have any Lakers stuff.
I
think the Heat, they came out in that first game and, you know, they really got shell-shocked. But I think what really changed in this series is Goran Dragic going out with the plantar fasciitis in his foot. And then you lose Bam Adebayo, your all-star center, for game two. Apparently he's supposed to be back, for game three tonight. But yeah, I mean, these guys have kind of just really lost all confidence in their shot. They're being bodied in the paint by the Lakers. And, you know, it was kind of a clash of styles. Would the small ball team win with the number of athletic, young, and hot shooting wings? Or would it be the size of the Lakers? And clearly the Lakers have just imposed their will, you know, through two games thus far. And the Heat are going to have to, you know, have to wake up here. And, you know, I have faith in Eric Spoelstra that he'll be able to figure something out here and make this a series. But you're right. Tyler Hero has been really horrendous through two games, which is terrible to say because he was so exciting in the conference finals. Duncan Robinson, he's got his coach screaming at him from the sideline, telling him to shoot the ball. So I think the key, though, for the Heat, Jimmy Butler needs to be more aggressive. You know, he only took like seven shots in the first half in game two. You're the man now. And it can't just be, let's get all my other teammates involved. Dragic's out. Adebayo is questionable. You got to take the reins and drop 40 or something like you did in one of the early games against Boston.
Your boys are going to get swept, Kale, and then you're going to go buy a LeBron Lakers jersey, aren't you?
Well, I will say it's kind of the first time we've ever seen LeBron, you know, maybe just run through somebody in the finals. It obviously happened to him a few times when he was so undermanned against the Warriors. So, you know, as a fan of LeBron, it is a little kind of refreshing to see him, you know, just win another title and not have to come back from 3-1 or something. So, you know, we'll see. But it's going
to
be
He's ready to go home.
He is tired of room service.
Yes.
I think that's it.
No more Jimmy Butler's espressos. Knock that stuff off. All right. Kale, I appreciate the time this morning. Thanks for getting up early. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, what's left of it, and I'll catch up with you again soon.
Sounds good, Chris. Thanks so much for having me.
Awesome. Thank you, Kale. Kale Berger, our Pitt pre- and post-game host. Love catching up with him to talk. I mean, he watched every single play and analyzed it for us as a studio host of that disappointing Pitt NC State loss yesterday, and I always love to push his buttons about the NBA as well because he grew up in Miami, and his boys are going to get swept by LeBron and AD, and it's Dwight Howard and Rondo, and it's just it's they're not going to make it a series. I hate to break the news to Kale. Anyway, the Penguins have as officially made a decision as you can make it until they actually deal the other guy. They signed Tristan Jarry to a 3-year, $10.5 million contract extension. It was announced yesterday. And fans are ready. Ready to push Matt Murray out the door. Do it. Get him out of here. Which is kind of odd to me that we have this reaction to Matt Murray. We all know the writing is on the wall, but it's odd. I want to talk this through with you guys next. Text me. Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line is open. 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminding you to text responsibly. Why are we in such a rush to push a 26-year-old two-time Stanley Cup champion goaltender out the door? Is it just because it's what have you done for me lately? Is it because we really love Tristan Jarry that much? Is it because he's the guy who replaced the guy who we still have hearts in our eyes for, like an emoji? What is it? And we talk about what to expect from the Penguins over the next couple of days. As the draft is a little more than 48 hours away, free agency 5 days away, Jesse Marshall of The Athletic going to join me just after 8:40. And we get back into the NFL scheduling dilemma. What do they do as the Titans continue to test positive? Their game against the Bills next weekend now in jeopardy, it seems. Chiefs, Patriots, we don't know yet if they're definitely going to play tomorrow or Tuesday. The Saints and Lions seem to have dodged a bullet this morning. We'll touch on all of that with Doran Dickerson in the middle of the 9 o'clock hour. It's all coming up. Chris Mack of the Fan Morning Show with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.